Affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one could have dreamed we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Few men even considered the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against us. midnight on the 12th of August, a huge mass of luminous gas erupted from Mars and sped towards Earth. Across 200 million miles of void, invisibly hurtling towards us, came the first of the missiles that were to bring so much calamity to Earth. As I watched, there was another jet of gas. It was another missile, starting on its way. Spurting out from Mars, bright green, drawing a green mist behind it, a beautiful but somehow disturbing sight. Ogilvy, the astronomer, assured me we were in no danger. He was convinced there could be no living thing on that remote, forbidding planet.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, he said. Are a million to one, but still they come.
Then came the night the first missile approached Earth. It was thought to be an ordinary falling star, but next day there was a huge crater in the middle of the common, and Ogilvy came to examine what lay there. A cylinder, 30 yards across, glowing hot, and with faint sounds of movement coming from within. Suddenly the top began moving, rotating, unscrewing. And Ogilvy feared there was a man inside trying to escape. He rushed to the cylinder, but the intense heat stopped him before he could burn himself on the metal.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, he said. The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, but still. Are a million to one, he said. The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, but still they come.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of In You All Along. In You All Along is, of course, the radio show that you're listening to right now. We started off a little bit delayed this morning, thanks to the usual technical difficulties. And I want to thank, as always, the wonderful folks at the Tufts University Public Safety Office who, when we can't get into the station, have magic tricks that get us in. We started off this morning with the unforgettable Jeff Wayne's musical version of War of the Worlds. That is one of the strangest and most beautiful albums I know. We're hearing a little bit of the music in the background here. Sort of proggy, sort of glammy. It's about, you know, it's a full album length long. It's what, an hour or something. And I don't know if the music really stops for more than a few seconds. And he's got Richard Burton, Sir Richard Burton, the greatest Shakespearean actor after Olivier, doing his narration. And it's a giant, goofy fun fest. Dig it out at your local used record store or internet record library. And following that, we had Queen's Great King Rat. Queen were theatrical from the beginning, but I feel like their early stuff, listen to me, college radio DJ, you know, their early stuff is really where it's at. The first albums from Queen are really kind of a heavier, more metally kind of sound from those guys. And that is from their first album, the simply self-titled Queen from 1973. As you regular listeners are aware, and I know at least one regular listener is aware because I've already heard from one, I've been doing regular interviews with folks out at various political movements, rallies, protests. This week I had the privilege of being down at the Massachusetts State House on Boston Common for a rally of healthcare workers who were standing up for the Affordable Care Act. Now, regardless of what your feelings are for or against the Affordable Care Act, I think their opinions really do bring some valuable insight, because they are the ones that are seeing the effects on the front lines. So without further ado, let's hear from some of those folks from last Saturday at the State House. Can you tell me what's your name and what is your involvement here?
My name is Deirdre Waxman, and I'm a social worker, and I'm one of the four organizers of this event.
And tell me why you organize this event today.
I notice in my practice as a social worker how important affordable care is for my elderly clients. And I think we need to do whatever we can to preserve it and not roll it back.
What is the setting in which you do social work for elderly clients?
I work at the Brookline Council on Aging.
And what impact have you seen from the Affordable Care Act, or its equivalent here in Massachusetts, which of course predates it?
Tremendous impact. a lot less anxiety from our clients. It is truly one less thing to be anxious about. A lot less, well, we've seen less homeless people as well.
You mean you're seeing fewer people who are homeless, or fewer homeless people that can't get health care?
Well, a lot of people, we saw people who were homeless because they couldn't get health care. They were, like I said in my talk here, one of them we picked up off the street because while he was a working person and he had his health insurance through employment, he got really sick and was not able to work anymore, and he didn't have insurance, and he, you know, fell apart because of his sickness. He ended up in an ATM machine where we picked him up. And we worked with him, and we were able to get him on MassHealth because he really had nothing. But there are people that fall into the true donut hole. The true donut hole is not necessarily Part D Medicare. It's the 60 to 65-year-old people who are, for one reason or another, not working or unhealthy and can't work, but are not eligible yet for Medicare, which comes in at 65.
And the Affordable Care Act has filled that hole?
Totally filled that hole. It's a breeze for me now as a social worker. That is just not something I have to worry about for my clients.
Have you seen a viable proposal, or have you seen any viable alternatives for the Affordable Care Act?
I have not, and I was looking even yesterday. It's whatever they're trying to cobble together is going to be much less useful to poor people, especially to poor people and sick people, than the Affordable Care Act.
Let me ask you this then. Is there something that you would change about the Affordable Care Act? Is there something that needs to be changed if you had to pick something?
It would be nice if the Affordable Care Act was more affordable.
It's right there in the name, after all.
Yeah. It's actually a very good act, bill, for people who are for the lowest income people as well. They do get extra help. I am on the Affordable Care Act myself, and it's not particularly affordable for me, but I am very grateful to have it. And I think needier people really, really do well with the Affordable Care Act because they get vouchers, they get subsidies.
Amanda Westlake, and I'm an HIV doctor at Brigham and Women's.
And how long have you been practicing in this area?
For the past 3 years.
So you have been practicing only under the Affordable Care Act then?
Yep, that is the reality of our situation. And so we practice really under, specifically being an HIV doctor, because all of my patients have a chronic and life-threatening condition. I've only ever provided care to them in a way that they have a safety net. They know that they can get their medications. Even though we have the added layer of protection in Massachusetts of having instituted nearly universal health care in 2006, if the ACA is repealed, that could put almost 500,000 people in Massachusetts at risk of losing coverage.
Wow. Have you gotten the sense from your patients of how their lives have changed because of either Massachusetts universal health care or the Affordable Care Act?
I mean, the fact that in Massachusetts all patients with HIV can get access to their HIV medications, which are life-saving for them, is huge. I mean, Massachusetts has been such a national leader in this regard, and we need to continue to be that national leader. It's literally life-saving for my patients that they can afford get their medications and have access to health care.
Have you seen a viable alternative to the Affordable Care Act?
No. Not at all.
Have you seen a proposal for an alternative to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I haven't. A viable alternative for the Affordable Care Act would be...
No, I didn't say...
The first. Be universal health care. I haven't seen anything that has been currently proposed by the Republican leadership.
Do you think that the Affordable Care Act will be replaced?
I think the only feasible alternative to replacing the Affordable Care Act would be universal single-payer health care.
So in other words, there's no going back now?
Not without the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans.
It's a pretty profound statement.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
My name is Adi Ratner. I'm a family medicine resident at Boston Medical Center and also see patients at South Boston Community Health Center.
And what brings you here today?
Well, I feel like this is just part of what brought me into medicine in the first place, but the fact that, you know, healthcare should be a human right in our country. I personally am a supporter of a single-payer healthcare system, but I think at the very least, we need to fight to make sure that the ACA does not get repealed.
What's been the impact that you've seen of the Affordable Care Act on your on the population that you serve?
Beth, how you doing?
Well, when I trained in Baltimore and I kind of saw the transition of a whole community of people start to sign up for health insurance and just start to get primary care after years, maybe decades of not getting primary care. And finally starting to address some of their chronic conditions as well as, you know, diagnose some, unfortunately, more terminal conditions and as well as mental health. I mean, it's been huge. I think that, you know, we could always do more, and there are certain populations that are excluded from the ACA, but I mean, the impact I saw in the communities is already tremendous, and it would just be so tragic and inhumane to reverse that.
Is there anything that you would change at this point about the ACA?
I would say that we need to have one system that covers everybody without the kind of intermediary or middleman of the insurance companies. You know, there are a lot of for-profit insurance companies. And I just think that poses a conflict with actually, you know, providing the best healthcare to all the people. If the goal of a company is to make a profit, then, you know, we can't prioritize people's health.
Have you seen anything that looks like a viable replacement for the Affordable Care Act from our political leaders?
I have not.
Have you seen anything that looks like any kind of proposal for a replacement?
You know, I've been trying to keep up with the news. I'm a first-year resident, so it's been a little bit challenging, but based on my, you know, what I have been able to see, I've not seen anything viable, you know, come through from the politicians right now. I would be really open to reading a new proposal, but to be honest, I think the only better option than the ACA would be a single-payer system, and if they propose that, I would be, you know, 100% behind it.
You know, it's interesting because almost everyone I've spoken to today that has had an idea about another system has said single payer, single payer, single payer. Do you think that it's something that would work in this country?
I mean, I don't deny that it would be a rough transition. I think that, you know, kind of overturning or restructuring a healthcare system from what we have now that is just so complex and so complicated would definitely be a challenge, but that requires the buy-in of all, you know, all parties involved, and that is a politically difficult thing to pull off. But I think that sometimes difficult things require investment on the front end in order to see, you know, the benefit on the other end. And I think that something with healthcare, which should be a human right, you know, in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, it's just shocking and appalling that we don't have a system where, you know, everybody has access to healthcare.
Hey, everybody. Those were some voices from the healthcare rally, the healthcare workers rally last Saturday on Boston Common. For those of you who've been tuning in regularly, you're accustomed to my usual PSA that I'm really fond of, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit this week. I don't feel like reading the cell phone rights, which is pretty much a full page of text. So I'm just going to tell you about Super PAC numbers to think about. As pointed out by Lawrence Lessig, 80% of all the money so far donated to the Super Political Action Committees, also known as Super PACs, comes from a total of just 196 Americans. That's a public service message from WMFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio, which you are, of course, tuned into right now, listening to In You All Along on every Friday from 6 to 7 a.m. It's 6:35 right now. And we're going to jump right back into it with some more of the voices from the healthcare workers rally for the Affordable Care Act on Boston Common just this past Saturday.
What's your name and where you're from?
My name is Melanie. I'm a nurse at Boston Medical Center.
And what brings you here today?
I'm a big supporter of the Affordable Care Act. I support my patients. I think that we see a lot. I see healthcare as a social justice issue, and that's why I'm here.
What has been the practical effect of the Affordable Care Act that you've seen in your work?
I've seen a lot more people be able to access healthcare that wouldn't be able to otherwise. And I think when people are healthier, they're able to live their lives more fully and more productively and with more dignity.
Do you see more people coming in that wouldn't come in before or that would seek alternative avenues for their care?
Definitely, yeah.
And what are your feelings on the proposals to repeal or replace the Affordable Care Act?
I don't think that there's any plan for a good replacement, and I don't think that repealing it is going to do anything positive for our country.
What's your name and where are you from?
Rachel Epstein. I work at Boston Medical Center.
And what brings you here today?
Standing with a piece of legislation that has made a huge difference for so many of our patients, and having practiced before and after the ACA, I can see the difference of people being able to make it to appointments because they know they can get to the appointment, that they can afford their medications and actually not have to choose between, you know, life-saving medications and other necessary aspects of life. And I think that it's a really important thing that has made such a big difference for so many people around the country.
What do you think of the plans that you've seen to repeal and or replace the Affordable Care Act?
I'm concerned about what it means for our patients going forward, for all the thousands and millions of people who depend on the ACA, and I hope that it will stand, and I hope that if there is some alternative, it is something that provides, you know, that provides healthcare for those who need it and is not taking away all the plans that people have, all the needed plans, all the
And what for you that you've seen has been the single most significant impact of the Affordable Care Act?
I think the fact that people come to medical care because they know that they can, and being able to treat people's chronic diseases and actually make a difference. That people are not sitting at home until it's way too late to address a certain problem. I think we've seen huge numbers of people coming to community health centers across New England where I've worked.
And what's your particular area that you practice in?
Infectious disease. So for us, you know, there are very much life-saving meds that people need to get for HIV, for many other issues, and it makes a huge difference.
Would you say that the Affordable Care Act has been made a life-saving difference?
I think so. In medicine, it's especially in internal medicine, it's hard because we do a lot of preventative care, and it takes time to see a difference. But I've seen a difference on people's faces as their depression has changed, and they're able to get a job, and they're able to do things in life, for sure.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. What's your name and where do you practice?
My name is Zoe Weinstein. I practice at Boston Medical Center.
And what is your field of practice?
I do primary care in addiction medicine.
What brings you here today?
This is an issue that obviously impacts the vast majority of my patients and us as a nation, and the importance of access to high-quality health care. To prevent and treat disease and to allow all of us to be productive members of society.
So, were you practicing before the Affordable Care Act took effect?
I was practicing, yes, but in Massachusetts. So, we were relatively buffered, I think, from kind of a complete lack of insurance, because I've only practiced since we've had Romney Care, I guess.
So what differences have you seen since the Affordable Care Act took effect?
I think that the exchanges have helped in some unexpected ways. I think, as some of the speakers mentioned, you know, issues like pre-existing conditions and even people who might have access to COBRA or who might be in self-employed and buy insurance on their own, I think that the ACA has really allowed those people to get more high-quality plans for a more affordable price, including colleagues of mine who could only work part-time because of medical illness and actually bought a very affordable plan on the exchange, so he was able to continue his cancer treatment at Dana-Barber. And I think additionally the coverage for women in terms of preventative health care and contraceptive care is really crucial in increasing access. So I think even though there were some more relatively incremental changes here in Massachusetts, I think that they actually made quite an impact to individual lives. And I think overall having that complementary federal support helps kind of further what was already going on in the state.
Have you seen anything that to you looks like a viable alternative to the Affordable Care Act yet?
I mean, most other wealthy nations, like our neighbor to our north, have showed us a very viable plan, which is nationalized health care. So I think that is the obvious relative proposal. If you look at the overhead for something like the VA system or Medicare system relative to the overhead for the for-profit health plans, obviously healthcare for all or nationalized healthcare is the obvious replacement.
Do you think that could work here?
Yes, of course. Why are we so different than most other nations?
That good question could be asked in many, many ways. Have you seen anything in the United States being proposed now that seems like a viable replacement for the Affordable Care Act?
Besides nationalized healthcare? No, I think that's really the only appropriate replacement. And I do think that there are some politicians who agree with that.
In other words, have you seen a proposal yet that looks like it could possibly... Have you seen a proposal yet?
Well, I mean, have I seen, like, the leaked details of maybe Paul Ryan's proposal? I mean, I think many of us clearly are here today because we don't think that taking away healthcare from people does not help.
So, what's your name and what is your field of practice?
My name is Aaron Stuppel. My field of practice is... hospital medicine. I don't know if you're familiar with. So general medicine inside the hospital. So I think.
And where do you practice?
At Beth Israel Deaconess, primarily in Needham, but also in Boston, BMC.
And what brings you here today?
I am passionate about advocating for patients in the public space as well as one-on-one. And I see this administration as a direct threat to health and well-being. And it's our moral calling. It's what we swore an oath to work for and protect. And this is simply a threat on many levels. And most specifically, the progress that's been made in Massachusetts with MassHealth is worth defending, needs defending. And the idea of just pulling the rug out from underneath something that works to achieve a political end is just as nauseating.
So what has been the impact that you've seen of both the Affordable Care Act and the Massachusetts equivalent, which, of course, predates it?
Affordable Care Act, my parents are not bankrupt because of the Affordable Care Act. My dad got insurance at the age of 63 and then had appendicitis 6 months later, ruptured appendix, was in the hospital. They had a fixed income. That would have done it for them without insurance, and he would not have had it without the health exchange. And then as a doctor... working with MassHealth is unbelievable. There's so many times where a patient is in trouble, can't afford meds. You know, I'm ready to fix their health problem, but they can't afford it. And I've just on numerous times worked with case managers, lined people up for MassHealth, and paid for care. And it's just, you know, the humanitarianism aside, it's just a major relief when you're trying to do your job, and you can because of this law. And this happens just countless times in Massachusetts, or just for me, my own experience.
Have you seen anything that looks like a viable alternative to the Affordable Care Act?
I haven't seen, single-payer health insurance, expanding Medicare and Medicaid to cover all ages. Those are the viable alternatives that I've seen. Obviously, no one's proposed those, you know, recently in terms of if you're talking about repeal and replace.
Do you think those could work in this country?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They work. I mean, there's, you know, dozens of countries where this works in. It's not a magic cure-all, but it is, you know, it is, it's obviously happening. You know, those countries are functioning. They still exist. Canada isn't on its knees. There's obviously it's complicated and different countries are different. And this country is massive. And I'm not saying it's not complicated, but it's, it is a failure. I'll say this. I think it's a failure of moral leadership on many levels. And I think most specifically healthcare leadership, you know, has a duty to figure out how to make this happen. And it's just, I think it's several industry leaders that are just abdicating their role and working to defend the profit margins of their work. And somebody has to step outside of that and have the guts to have real leadership on what we need. And if there's any silver lining to this administration, it's resetting the rule book on what's possible. And people that have the guts to, you know, to lead.
Do you see the leadership there? Do you see that there's leadership where it's needed on these issues?
I'm not a policy expert, and I don't travel in those circles. I know of Physicians for National Health Plan. I was impressed with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders had a lot, obviously, of support. If you call his ideas radical, it's hard to call his ideas radical with that much support. So I think it's waiting. Personally, I can't speak to any leader, really, besides Bernie Sanders.
Amanda Westlake, and I'm an HIV doctor at Brigham and Women's.
And how long have you been practicing in this area?
For the past 3 years.
So you have been practicing only under the Affordable Care Act, then?
Yep, that is the reality of our situation. And so we practice really under, specifically being an HIV doctor, because all of my patients have a chronic and life-threatening condition. I've only ever provided care to them in a way that they have a safety net. They know that they can get their medications. Even though we have the added layer of protection in Massachusetts of having instituted nearly universal health care in 2006, if the ACA is repealed, that could put almost 500,000 people in Massachusetts at risk of losing coverage.
Wow. Have you gotten the sense from your patients of how their lives have changed because of either Massachusetts universal health care or the Affordable Care Act?
I mean, the fact that in Massachusetts, all patients with HIV can get access to their HIV medications, which are life-saving for them, is huge. I mean, Massachusetts has been such a national leader in this regard, and we need to continue to be that national leader. It's literally life-saving for my patients that they can afford get their medications and have access to healthcare.
Have you seen a viable alternative to the Affordable Care Act?
No. Not at all.
Have you seen a proposal for an alternative to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I haven't. A viable alternative for the Affordable Care Act would be...
No, I didn't say...
The first, universal health care. I haven't seen anything that has been currently proposed by the Republican leadership.
Do you think that the Affordable Care Act will be replaced?
I think the only feasible alternative to replacing the Affordable Care Act would be universal single-payer health care.
So in other words, there's no going back now?
Not without the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans.
It's a pretty profound statement.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
They said that this was an aberration. I don't think that's true. I think... There's no way of having real control of a secret network. Now, I'm not saying that all the people in there are no good or anything like that. Some are very patriotic and admirable men. But it is a kind of occupation that attracts screwballs, paranoids, double dealers, and nuts. There's no way of having rule of law. They said that this was an aberration. I don't think that's true. I think it's very unfortunate. That the great ideals that have made our republic a shining light of history. Light of history. Have been defamed and dirtied in Latin America. Defamed by being associated with the imposition of dictatorships. That made us look like a bunch of hypocrites. You know, the real agitation, the real thing that really stirs them up in Central America is not Das Kapital. Very many peasants down there that have read all three volumes. But the American movies have done more to agitate the poor around the world than anything that Marx ever wrote or might have ever said. It's given them a picture of society with decent conditions, clean homes, toilets, to put it in the simplest terms. And that's what stirred them up. Agitation is the knowledge that only a few miles away is the Rio Grande, is the Rio Grande, is the Rio Grande, and across the Rio Grande is heaven. Have lived in a country that's been very successful technologically. And we instinctively think that every problem must have a technological solution. The atom bomb was supposed to be a perfect weapon. The atom bomb gave us nuclear superiority for quite a while. And please notice that in that period of nuclear superiority, it was the first time America had ever been kicked around and lost a war to some little 2x5 country across the Pacific. And the Russians today in Afghanistan, with all their nuclear superiority, what good does it do them? The wonder working weapon has to work. We're starving education, and the recruits are getting dumber, and the weapons are getting more and more complicated. How the hell are you going to run them?
Okay, everybody, that's going to do it for another episode of In You All Along. You just heard four parts of The Cold War Suite by Scott Johnson, as performed by the Kronos Quartet, featuring the words of I.F. Stone. Beautiful arrangement there, composed around the cadence of his voice. Scott Johnson has done a number of these compositions, really amazing works. And before that, of course, you heard some more of our interviews from the Massachusetts healthcare workers, healthcare professionals rally at the State House last Saturday about the Affordable Care Act. thanks for tuning in here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Coming right up now is the Music Savage Show with Ryan. So stay tuned.